Do you know any high school student who chose to read and summarize the Atom books for homework assessment voluntarily? Well, I will introduce you to Nera, who did. You will hear an interesting story of Nera Zabala, who did a PhD in theory of nanophotonics in her 90s in Spain, then was literally disconnected from professional career during the maternity leave as there was no internet. And now she is a professor at the University of Basque Country. She continued in the emergent field of plasmonics in photonics, which is the reason why she participates in the Poseidon project. How has the experience of being a female scientist evolved and influenced her perception of gender inequality in the field? Well, listen to what she has to say.
I decided to study physics. So I remember very well that our physics teacher, it was a woman at the secondary school when we were all girls students at that time, she recommended us to pursue our studies in chemistry, not in physics, as she thought it was more appropriate for women. Well, then I started my studies on physics. And I started my bachelor's thesis in the laboratory about magnetic materials, combining simulations and experiments, the laboratory, but I enjoyed it and I wanted to continue doing research. I was fascinated by starting with experiments and trying to explain, understand and reproduce them with theory, mathematical expressions and also with computations at that time. Then I had the opportunity to start a PhD with a research project in the field of plasmonics in electron microscopy in the low energy region of the electron energy loss spectroscopy. And then I followed with a position, I got a position as a lecturer at the University of the Basque Country. Later, I started to study the behavior of matter at the nanometer scale and introduced myself to the field of density functional theory. And that was during my postdoctoral stage after my PhD defense in Finland. It was in my postdoctoral stage in Finland. Later on, I continued in the field, in the emergent field at that time of plasmonics in photonics and the optical response of matter at a nanometer scale, which is, in fact, the reason why I participated in the Poseidon project.
Poseidon project is a project where we met and known each other. We are almost finishing the project. Do you have any learned lessons from this project? What did you learn? And what was your involvement in Poseidon? Can you elaborate on that?
The Poseidon project gave me a wide perspective on how to build an optical device. In this case, it was a novel on-chip light source in a multidisciplinary group. It gave me the opportunity to learn many things, starting from the design, from the basic science, from the nanofabrication of a basic ingredients of a device. This project has allowed me to work in a team, emerging scientists of different fields, as I said, in a multidisciplinary team, to get to pursue an integrated photonic device that meets some given constraints of conditions, starting from colloidal nanoparticles. In my case, I participated in the theory and calculations, and the feedback among calculations in the group of theory in which I collaborate and excellent groups working on nanofabrication, colloidal chemistry and photonics has been very exciting for me. I had never participated in such a collaborative project, merging specialists from different fields and from different research and nanotechnology centers and countries.
So that was about like how you get where you are and then how we met and all the journey up to Poseidon Project and what your role is in Poseidon. You know, also this podcast came up from the idea that women are not equally represented in science. And I'm really curious, like, what's your perspective on this? How does it feel like to be a woman in science for you?
Well, that's obvious that we are a minority, you know. When I started, for example, when I started my PhD, I was the only woman in my research group. And then as a postdoctoral fellow up there, my PhD defense, I was the only pregnant woman in the group. I felt quite strange. At that time, being on maternity leave then meant disconnecting from our professional career, as there was not internet at that time. We had no, well, it was starting, but we were not so connected as we are nowadays. Also, some of my colleagues, not many, became fathers also at about the same time. I believe that it didn't affect their careers, their scientific careers at the same level. I think it was, it is also more difficult for women in general to interact with other scientists at conferences too, where the majority are men. So it's quite obvious, I think. But I think it is changing too. Things are becoming different.
Do we have some kind of maybe tips? How could female engagement be encouraged?
I think it is important to try to invite women to conferences. Nevertheless, I must admit also that we are also responsible for this because sometimes we reject the invitations due to familiar duties, etc. And on the other side, we are more invisible in general. For example, we ask fewer questions than men in conferences. But there is also gender bias and a lower sense of women's legitimacy to speak. But in my opinion, the biggest barrier in women's scientific careers is self-confidence, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I think that female engagements could be encouraged also. One way is, of course, through positive discrimination actions, which can be good in principle. They have also other drawbacks, but for example, if there is a quota established for females to take part in speakers' panels of scientific conferences, this pushes the organizers to find women specialists in a given special topic. One may think that they do not exist sometimes, but they often do. And it is in this way that the organizers should look for them. The same holds for quotas also in evaluation committees or personal selection panels. I think it's worth trying to find a gender balance. And in this way, we could avoid male-dominated committees when possible.
I think that men should be aware that we feel, or women are feeling that way, and maybe also initiate the discussions with them, involve them, and maybe also introduce to the wider spectrums at the conferences. Previously, you mentioned that you had kind of like a break between the career and continuation of the work due to the maternity leave. Which is, of course, not a bad thing. I don't want to be negative in this. It's a very important role. I am the mother, so definitely I stand for that. But it really gives me the opportunity to stress and kind of prove that it is so likely for women to kind of stagnate or shrink from career paths due to maternity leave, kind of unwillingly. And many that men don't realize that. And it sometimes they sometimes complain about this positive discrimination that you already mentioned. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on that? How long did you stay at home with your kids during that time? And basically, did you return to the same team and continued with the same research? or there was some kind of gaps, or you had to start something completely different?
Well, I stayed at home for about 5 months on maternity leave for each of my two children. That was the time stipulated in Spain at that time. And when I returned to work, then I concentrated mainly on the lectures at the university, and my research activity was slowed down considerably. Although I continued collaborating with my research group, I didn't attend, for example, conferences for 3 or 2 years after my kids were born. And scientific conferences are an opportunity at the postdoctoral stage to meet other scientists and push the scientific career. I think that they have a great impact on the scientific career, on one's scientific career. My son was born 1 year after my PhD defense. 5 years later, I did a postdoctoral research stay in Finland, and that allowed me to concentrate again on research and push my scientific career. Then my daughter was born 1 year later. It was 4 years later that my daughter was born that I did another research stay. In this case, as a visiting professor. And these two research stays with my kids, my family, they allow me to introduce myself in new research fields and push my research career.
Okay, my last question that I have for you, when you close your eyes, how do you imagine a scientist? And have you changed this image throughout the
years? Oh, yes, this image has changed a lot along the years. The image I had before of a scientist was that an isolated person that could solve many problems in a laboratory and disconnected, no? And it has changed a lot throughout the years. Now, I'm conscious that science is not an individual work, but it's a collaboration of scientists from different countries. All along the world. I see that the development of computers, like I've seen along the years, and the internet has changed enormously the way we do science since I started. I never thought that it would be in this way. I thought it would be the same all the time. And well, I think this has positive but also negative consequences, aspects. The positive one is that information about the advances in science is shared and reaches nearly everyone in the world immediately, very, very rapidly. But at the same time, it has made science very, very competitive. And one feels that sometimes things go too fast, too fast. We don't have time to think deeply about things and sometimes, and it is difficult to discern among all the information we get, we receive from different windows, no? Different inputs from internet. So before it was only directly or by post, but now we have emails all the time, internet. So you are getting many, many inputs, and that changes the way we work, we do things. Every day. Nevertheless, I would say that there is one thing that has not changed, and it is the satisfaction that all scientists feel when we understand something new that we didn't understand before, or when we find a phenomenon, or we explain an experiment, or if we make a theoretical prediction and that then is corroborated by an experimental group. So that's a great satisfaction. And I think that is still there. So it's,
And I really hope that you will never stop being curious and enthusiastic as you are. Thank you, Nera, for sharing your story with us. And I wish you all the luck and happiness in science, but also in your personal life. Thank you.
Thank you. I also will say from you.
Thank you. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave us a review on Spotify or share this podcast with your friends.